Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Shooting again. I heard the sister scream. They stopped shooting.
Big said, he's good and dead now.
Tear gas is up, so here's your water and your mask. Keep this on.
It's 23:37 West Chairman Fred Hampton Way. This is for all practical purposes. This is one of our ground zeros. One of our September 11 stories. It was December 4th, 1969. 21-year-old Chairman Fred, 22-year-old defense head Amon Clark, were assassinated by the federal government via the Chicago Police Department. The first prenatal care that I received, as opposed to a doctor's stethoscope, was the Chicago Police Department's revolver being placed on my mother's pregnant protruding belly.
Free Fred Hampton, free Fred Hampton, fascist pigs, free Fred Hampton, we need our warrior beside us. Free Fred!
For the people's love for Fred Hampton is lovelier than lovely.
Back down memory lane. Taking in, you know, so kind of wonder which steps are you taking in. I'm Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. I feel fortunate to have fallen from the tree of two freedom fighters. That of Chairman Fred Hampton and also of Akua and Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. I gathered at this, and then also, I guess, in the eyes of the state and the system, I've been pretty much deemed a three-strike offender. One, for just simply being African. Two, for being the son of Chairman Fred and Akua and Jerry. And three, for continuing to fight for liberation of our people.
My government name is Deborah Johnson. I was given the name Akua and Jerry. I insist on him being dressed as Chairman Fred. That wasn't just something we called him because we liked him or he was a nice person or our buddy. We were a structured organization where people had positions and respected, like you going to church.
You know, people say, well, what made the Black Panther Party stand out? Like people, you know, some people say, well, they had leather jackets. And I said, well, you know, the Hells Angels had leather jackets. The deal is, the Black Panther Party was an organization that stood up on its own terms. And fought for that precious entity, self-determination.
Off of the 10-point programming platform, programs were put in place. The party was mandated wherever they were, not just in Chicago, but all over, to build survival programs. We could fight so we could run our communities in our own interest.
Hampton House, when you talk about, you know, it's not just relegated to, in a subjective way to just about, you know, about Chairman Fred. This is the Hampton House is an edifice, is a building for the history of Chairman Fred, the Black Panther Party, the people in general, humanity, the history of resistance, history of contradictions, again. And it's ongoing. It's not just talk, it's theory and practice. This is literally right next door to the childhood home of Chairman Fred Hampton. One of the survival programs, the Black Panther Party Cubs, the Save the Hampton House also that we have going on. I think it's imperative that we put it in context of the before and after. Remark. Heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched. Y'all know how we do this. We are literally, matter of fact, before we go inside, scan the hallways, because we see this is history. The outside of the Hampton House, the inside of the Hampton House, from the elementary school he attended to paintings and murals.
This is my favorite picture right here of me. My arrest picture when I was pregnant. They had snatched me with you in my belly out of the house. Out of our house at 2337 West, now known as Chairman Fred Hampton Way. And this is how they have you, had me stand for my, what they call a mugshot. This is the last generation of people that were involved in the Black Panther Party can teach about that period. So this handed down generation to generation so we don't pass down a legacy of shaking in our boots and scared to fight back. The purpose of this thing is to make power to the people a reality. You probably won't see it in this time, but we have to keep fighting. Well, we're talking about the masses of black people, poor and oppressed people, having control over their own lives. What's good for the family may not always be good for the community. But what's good for the community is good and will benefit the family.
Our position is that the Hampton House was served education, not in a way that, in a real deal sort of way. Free them all. Good job. Good work. Good work. The mother old. You think I forgot? Well, I think not. From the pyramids to the plantation, through the sharecropping and segregation, to the old earth from her seed, yes, indeed, you carried me. In Africa, I rolled your back on a plantation of potato sack. Whatever the case, you held me tight, kept me close those winter nights. Matriarchs and mothers and queens and nannies, big mamas and dear mamas, Geronimos and grannies. From the womb to the tomb, from the belly to the grave, through 4 inches of glass, prison blues and shackles and chains. I love you dearly, miss you really, and ain't never gonna change.
Right on.
We are the great-grandchildren of Garvey, offspring of Malcolm and the ideological cubs of the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party, a tough act to follow. However, we in the Black Panther Party Cubs position that we attempt to not walk in their footsteps, but their Panther paw steps. So the beat goes on. What's the call? Free them all.
Thank you. stretch in a trifling cell. What you know about 23 and 1? Locked down all day, underground, never seeing the sun. Visit stripped from you, never seeing your son. You got bricks on the strip, never see them get done. What you know about all day? Them little Debbies and them Chi-Chis making you sick. You gotta wash out your drawers, same water you shit. Brush, gargle and spit, same water you piss. You down with this nigga, you done killed this brother. But dog, don't think he don't know it. Think he a sucker cause he don't show it. Payback's a motherfucker and he won't blow it. What you know about them four letters? Not the kind you write or the kind you sit down and type. Sign at the margin, get it right. I'm talking about that real time life like Eddie and Martin. To my niggas that's up the fort, when I get there, fuck a pack, hand me a log and a push rod tallest sword. So when I hit these niggas up, they can't call a guard. Tell me what your life like. Shit, mine's real. Everything signed and sealed. Tell me what your life like. Shit, mine's is real. Everything signed and sealed. Tell me what your life like. Shit, mine's is real. Everything signed and sealed. Tell me what your life like. Nigga, mine's is real. Everything signed and sealed. What you know about solitary? Locked down, no commissary. And you wild already. And you just seen your mom get buried. You got drums coming in all kinds of blurries. What you know about the towel on your cell when you alone at night? Or a jailhouse hunger strike? Or you sitting in your cell and disowned one night? And you think, damn, I'm never coming home one night. You got 5 years in, never been flown a kite. You hearing grown men moan at night. They got you stuck in the can. White man got you fucking your hand. Your wife on land fucking your man. What you know about no parole? Life in the hole, life's cold. You be eating them swags. Guards on a night shift, they be beating you bad. The hardest nigga turn bitch, be sleeping with fags. What you know about getting and shipping balloons? Keep switching positions in the visiting room. Gotta take X-Lax, hope you get it in time. Gotta sit in your palm just to get to her rhyme. And you talking about your life is this, your life is that. Your life ain't shit, your life is whack. Man, you listening to the realest nigga. Close your eyes, motherfuckers. Tell me you don't feel this nigga. Tell me what your life like. Mine's is real. Everything signed and still. Tell me what your life like. Nigga, mine's is real. Everything signed and still. Tell me what your life like. Mine's is real. Everything signed and still. Tell me what your life like. Mine's like real, like everything signed to still. Tell me what your life like. Mine's real, everything signed to still. Nigga, what your life like? Mine's is real, everything signed to still. Tell me what your life like. Mine's real, everything signed to still. Tell me what your life like.
Like
mine's like real, like mine's real, like.
Okay, it's roll one, Frampton interview with camera left, Fred Hampton, H-A-M-P-T-O-N, deputy chairman of the Illinois Panther Party. Camera right, David Hilliard, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D, chief of staff, National Black Panther Party. Gentlemen, what do you think the demonstrations on the first day of the trial accomplished?
I think that they were very educational in the sense that they exposed further the fascist characteristics of the courts in racist America. What happened to Bobby today was very characteristic of Nazi Germany. The judge, Julius J. Hoffman, is the champion of fascism. The man is a mechanical fascist in a robe. He's a lunatic. And it needs to be removed from the court system.
Well, those are words. I mean, specifically, what is it that's bothering you about the judge and what happened in the courtroom?
The first of all, the man is an old senile fascist, as I mentioned. He's not a man that's capable of rendering any justifiable decisions in anybody's regards. I think he's proved that many times. So we see that the only possible way that Bobby can get a fair trial in any courts, not just in Chicago, is by having a jury of his own peers, and that the only justice would definitely be rendered when the people themselves make decisions in regards of revolutionaries.
Are the Panthers concerned with the other seven defendants as well as Bobby Seale? You mentioned Seale's name specifically.
Bobby's our leader, and we're most definitely concerned primarily about Bobby. The other seven defendants were involved in the so-called conspiracy, and we see them as being a very necessary factor in the case. But we're not going to put all of our weight on those individuals. We need our leader. Bobby is the leader not only of the black community, but the man is the leader of the white community too, if those people are talking about moving in a revolutionary fashion. We don't make distinctions between the white and black communities. These people consider themselves revolutionaries, so we say that they will have to react from a revolutionary standpoint of view. We don't support their anarchist strategies that they're so used to exemplifying, but we are concerned about those individuals.
Do you think that there is more that you agree on and disagree on as far as the white, middle-class, radical left and the Panthers?
I think that we agree with a lot of things they do, but I couldn't say it was more things than we disagree with, you know. And when you say that, it's hard to say, and I don't even know if I want to say that really, because that's a hard question to answer because it's not specific enough. You know, there's so many groups. You have to get more specific and talk about specific groups and specific people. Because, like he said, there are a lot of people that are anarchists. We don't support that in any group. And I think that's the criteria we should use for judging people. You know, and I think that's the criteria we have to use for judging organizations, you know. That whether or not they, you know, support the ideology of spontaneity or whether they believe in, you know, revolutionary theory, you know, and putting that revolutionary theory into some type of revolutionary practice. And, you know, but some people don't do that. Those people that don't do that, and not saying whether they're more or less, those people that don't do that, we can't support that. We can't support anarchism on the part of blacks, whites, reds, yellow, anybody else. And I think that a lot of this, what we call anarchism, you know, I think it's, you know, on the borderline, a lot of it is even past the borderline of being a provocation instigated by some of these pigs. Yeah.
I think that we should reiterate on your first question. First of all, Bobby, as I stated earlier, is the leader of what people consider a vanguard organization, and that they earned that role not by choice but through many lives that have been lost as a result of our struggle. So that the other individuals involved in the trial or the conspiracy with Bobby are people that will have to take directions from people that have engaged in struggle and have obtained the vanguard role through their very actions. So the very fact that these individuals are involved in a case with our chairman seems to reflect sometimes that critics from individuals sort of a racist attitude, and that the whole trial could be dangerously damaged if people see it in that light. So we most definitely do not advocate a split to that degree. All we want to do is to make sure that these people get a day in court where they will be judged by a reasonable, sane person and not a lunatic like the judge that he's got, you know.
What you're saying is you expect a conviction.
I'm saying that I expect a conviction not on the merits of the case, but because the man up there is not capable of giving anybody any justice. I think that the reason he's maintained his position so long is because of his kangarooism, because of his ability to railroad people through the court systems. I see that the whole systems of America is being stockpiled with lunatics and psychopaths, with fascists, all the way down from Attorney General Mitchell. And this is what we have to face. And I think it's up to the American public at large.
May I say that when we assess it?
I think that our position in regards to the other individuals in the trial brings on whether or not they're able to follow decisions handed down by people that are considered as the vanguard. And whether they accept that or not is a matter of fact. And that one of the criteria that they could use for judging whether or not we're the revolutionary vanguard is extended with the invitation to the Algerian cultural festival, whereas only the Black Panther Party was extended invitations out of all the other black organizations in America. So that when these people begin to refuse to follow directions handed down by leaders of the American Revolution, then we see them as being somewhat anarchist.
Well, are you saying that there's a difference in view about tactics, specifically in your relations with the police? In other words, what the radical whites are doing as compared to what the Panthers are doing?
There's a most definite difference. These people oftentimes promote situations where numerous of people are maimed, are brutalized, are killed, and we classify this as being criminal. And criminality is something that we definitely are opposed to, and that's why we take our uncompromising position against the police. So when they move in directions like that, they're actually part in part moving with the forces of repression.
Well, would you say that the demonstration today was in any way a provocation to the police or not?
Yes, I think it was definitely a provocation of the police, you know, because you see, it was made clear through all the people that spoke for the Black Panther Party that we were down there for one thing and one thing only, to show massive support around Chairman Bobby Seale. And if anything, when there were even a chance, when there was even a chance of an outbreak, the party tried to quell this outbreak with its field marshals and the people that was on the microphone at the time that the outbreak occurred. But even with all of the vigilance that the party had displayed and most of the black people in the crowd, we still had some anarchists, whatever you want to call them, provocateurs, people that tried to overshadow what we were trying to do down there for Chairman Bobby. And even today, this evening, I found a situation where people in the in Babylon are trying to overshadow some of the good that the Black Panther Party is trying to do. And we're supposed to be opening up a free medical center with absolutely free medical care for the people on 16th and Springfield, west side of Chicago. And a group of people on the west side of Chicago told us that they didn't want us to open that medical center. A group of young people over there. And they didn't give us any logical reasons that they didn't want us to open the medical center except that this area that the medical center was in, quote unquote, they ran it. This was their turf, you know. And what I'm saying is that there's nothing about the medical center that is not good for the people. And we don't know whether we're going to open or not, because we're not going to allow anyone to belittle us or to grab us by our revolutionary coattails and drag us down into humbug and gangbang style of attacking the problem. We're going to open a health clinic, no matter where we open it, we're going to open it, and we think that the people in that community will force these provocateurs and these idiots to allow the health center to be open in that community because it's going to do nothing but good for the people.
Well, specifically with regard to what's been going on around the federal building, what's likely to happen the rest of the week, and even in the future, as long as the trial goes on, what are going to be the tactics that the Panthers advocate? Are there going to be more demonstrations?
We certainly hope to show massive force. We hope to surmount our numbers daily in the same reflection that you saw with the Huey Newton trials. This is one means for educating the people about the conditions the black people are subjected to within the fascist judiciary system of the United States of America. But I think the high point of what we're talking about could best be summed up by dealing with the criminal situation that we have been subjected to, not just with our coalition with our white counterparts, but more so with the judges, with the people that supposedly run the federal buildings. The federal building is a public facility. We have to obtain permits in order to have people come and witness the terror and the fascism that's being meted out against members of our party. And we're going to stop obtaining permits. The people have a right to be there, and we don't have to beg or ask them to give us approval for checking and seeing how they're passing decisions against our leaders.
What are you suggesting that you're going to do?
We're suggesting that we're going to be there in numbers, whether they like it or not.
Outside the building?
Outside and inside the motherfucker.
You're going to try to go inside the building without passes?
We don't have to have passes to get in there. The building is a public facility. It's supposed to be a building that represents the attitudes and the goodwill of the people. So we're going to make them exemplify that particular area of our Constitution. They cannot lock the doors on us. The people have violated all Bobby's constitutional rights, and we want the masses to be there to judge that situation as it is.
Given the situation as it is, wouldn't this be the kind of provocation that you want to avoid, you say you want to avoid?
We're not going there for any provocation. If people were going to war, I'm most certain that they would have guns and ammunition. We're not coming with any guns. We're coming to watch the so-called authorities of justice carry out their duty. So if there's any actual provocation, the provocation will come from the pigs like it always is. They're the ones that start the riots. They're the ones that go around with big long sticks and 357 Magnums whooping people, not the masses. We don't advocate anybody bringing any guns to the federal courthouse, but we do advocate the people assembling there massively to protest their dissatisfaction at the way that they're treating our chairman of the Black Panther Party and the other seven individuals that's involved in the so-called conspiracy, which is very absurd.
Tell people Instagram. Heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched, dog. Just in case the word get out on Instagram, that I ain't on Instagram yet. Tell them on trip. I need my phone to send a flyer to a couple of people. But we are coming to you live and direct, Blog Talk, Intellectual Radio, Streaming Yard, and you name it. Weekly program, the Black Panther Party Cubs, and the spirit of making history, taking history, taking history, live and direct, y'all. Y'all bear with me, cub with us for a minute. Just get this apple. This is a fresh apple hat. They ain't got the right hookup to it yet. You know, they got that cub look to it. So I'm kind of working on that. But meantime, between time, again, we honored Humble to be here. I'm gonna dip out soon as the flyer get done. Some people like wonder where the flyer at, and I'm gonna go down and get my coffee. So I'm gonna be charged up. I'm on cloud million right now. Phenomenal moves today, you know. A lot of historical moves, I'm going to talk about them in a minute. We were talking about here, as you'll see on the fly here, I recommend y'all check out the podcast, Proximity Podcast. I think it's one of the first, Proximity for those that are familiar. The piece that you've seen at the Hampton House, the work that we're doing, present-day Rainbow Coalition, and some other dynamics, and the ongoing relationship, Ryan Coogler, Zinzi, Seb, and this production company, and this is, I think, I'm not sure, this is maybe the initial podcast. And this is a podcast with Ryan Coogler, phenomenal producer. My nephew, if I go there, you know what I'm saying? Phenomenal brother. He's interviewing another phenomenal brother, Charles King. Macro. This Macro is also, if you're not familiar, in addition to Warner Brothers, it was Macro also with the production of Judas and Black Messiah. Speaking of which, Judas and Black Messiah has just been released on Tubi, and it's free. And so a brother called me and said, "Man, I'm watching the movie." I said, "Yeah, that is because like it's up in your household now, you know, so you can duck like you know." To be honest with you, as a sister said to me, Airline Stewart had commented to me before. She said she was scared to watch it.
just scared to watch Judas Black Messiah. And no slight. She said, you watch BMF? She said, yeah, yes, of course. And that's, you know, and again, this is no slight, because, that's a phenomenal piece, too. BMF, as well, Snowfall, which is a phenomenal piece. But whether it be movies, whether it be in reality, the discussion of struggle, putting things in political context, is not an easy pill to swallow, you know what I'm saying? It's a conversation that there was no one to talk about, not always to relate to, but the reality is everything is political. But that, this is, I think this is, even with this on being on Tubi, you're released inside the household, it kind of gives a more, a safety net, if you will, to have the conversation. And what I mean by that is, I'm drawing some other correlations too, like this event, not this event, this breakfast with brothers I was at this morning. It has a monthly event they do. Caleb Muhammad, phenomenal brother, who we go back. I was coming to him earlier when they were, even it was on the West Side, Boss 2B, and this is the event of the Sisters Restaurant. Give you the name of that. 1 second, this flyer is ready. Yep. Yes. You're multitasking here. Okay. This Sister's Restaurant, I was shouting out on one name of the restaurant, and it was a Breakfast with Brothers. Man, it's once a month. And brothers from all walks of life are there. Now I got comment, Brother Caleb Muhammad comment. Okay. He said, "This is good." Okay, it may be a foregone conclusion. I got there a little late. But Caleb Muhammad said, "This is something for Chairman Fred. This is early for him." And I said, "You know, Mother Conrad, Mama Kua, she reminded me this morning. This is the breakfast event, and this is once a month." And again, the dialogue, the brothers that was there, the brothers from all walks of life. I'm gonna say, I'm Emmanuel, brothers, they would, some in and out, got them, supported the brother and the sister's restaurant. But the conversation, the dialogue that was happening there, and I'm saying this, I'm stressing this to you, it was at least, I would say 75 black men. Again, black men. It's 75 black men were in presence. And, it was energy. Man, I don't want to get shouting out to different brothers, who was there, I know I miss some. Different walks of life, the brother who presented later on, he presented on trauma. And it was tied into, fellowship, tied into the meal, the breakfast, so on and so forth, It wasn't this formal. In fact, even the dress code, it wasn't this formal thing, but it was a needed energy. The discussion, the dialogue that happened, the questions and comments, cats from the streets, university was just different, different purpose, And it wasn't this, I mentioned on occasion before, society that we come from, what Sheikh Anta Diop talks about, where we work, a matriarchal society, we can work in harmony with nature, the gender contradiction. We say the word contradiction is not necessarily antagonistic. In other words, men and women, as opposed to society that we're subjected to, the one comes expensive enough. So it wasn't, black men, wasn't a black woman bashing me, Forces was there. It wasn't a pissing contest on egos or who was who, so on and so forth. Different dialogue, input. And the discussion on trauma was phenomenal, we're going to go into that too. But I want to recommend, I'm going to send this from a Texas flyer to a few people. I want to recommend y'all, make sure y'all hear this podcast, this interview with Ryan Coogler and Charles King. Okay, so date is the May 10th. Y'all, I'm just finished telling everybody right now. I'm gonna tell my comrade, give me a station break in a minute. Give me a speech to some something from Judas and Black Messiah if you can, because we're talking about the proximity interview. Also on the fly, you're gonna have to call Nelson Show, which I was just on, and the Field Marshal was on there also, and before that, doctor, I can't remember the sister now, I can't see it on the fly. Let's talk about the jail conditions in Baltimore. Malcolm X said prison is a microcosm of the outside community. And you start seeing the correlation of the conditions that, you know what I'm saying, the last 2-3 weeks we talked about the Field Marshal will come on and talk about some of the horrific conditions in county jail. And I really want to touch on it today. Matter of fact, as opposed to the break, I'm gonna get them to tag team. Tell us about the conditions in Cook County Jail. I have my Instagram. I'm gonna be on. If you can't put your Instagram on, comrade. So I really want to get it fresh when he got out, when he's released. I want to get it right there, hot up. You know what I'm saying? Because the deal is a couple of things. A lot of times, like with trauma. In fact, the brother, I'm gonna give the brother on the show one day. He was talking about trauma, like even have children that this part of the brain is not developed yet. He's talking about the different dynamics of how you think. Doing a scientific analysis as opposed to I'm tough, I'm opposed to, much this, so on and so forth. And we even talked about that. I talked about expressing emotions, so on and so forth. And I think it's imperative that when we talk about any discussion, we're talking about religion, when we're talking about, music, food, we're talking about, mental health, it's imperative that we, because that's when you call them conversations, and they have certain consistencies with humanity, you know what I'm saying? Or even some animals, you can say, animals do this, so. But again, it's imperative that we don't get caught up, we don't negate the race question. And also the class contradiction also. Sad to say that, even discussion about, they were saying, being required. Matter of fact, That was we're going to talk about the Carl Nelson Show. We're going to talk about the proximity interview. We're going to be talking about what's happening Saturday. We got the pre-Mother's Day food giveaway. You got the Hampton House. You got the Justice for Nicholas League. Campaign. You got Black Panther Party Cubs going to be out there. Also, May 13th, Saturday. That date should mean something to y'all. May 13th, Saturday. Let us not forget what happened on May 13th, Saturday, Philadelphia, Osage Avenue. What's it, you know what I'm saying? What year is this now? You know what I'm saying? The quote-unquote anniversary, I kind of hesitate that term, but what's going to be significantly happening in Philadelphia this May 13th? Y'all tune in, keep, you know what I'm saying? Mike, after text happening, it was a minute. Right on, Nietzsche. I was commenting about Zakiya Pettis yesterday. I was somewhere. Let me send this flyer. One second. Okay, let me send this flyer out. I was commenting. I said someone. What Zakiya makes sure, whatever the discussion matter is, she makes sure she tap in the case about Tyrone Pettis, her father. Our brother. And the deal is, everything political, we appreciate the consistency. She got the ID number, Tyrone Pettis, N-527-85. Dan Bill Correction Center. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what the conversation was. I can get this to this lady. Her brother, Rob Montague, is locked up. And I was coming how okay, we'll get this answer. Y'all forgive me, I'll get this flight as much as I can. I was coming. I see. Justin Blake, live records. Freeze right on. Winnie Chanel. Fred Mall. Lakeith Smith, man, I'm glad to send his mother a flyer too. Glad you, man. Thank you, Richard. Right on. I said, with the case, it's gonna get to the time with these things, you know, automated drive. Right on. Y'all bear with us and cut with us for 1 minute. Do as much as you can. Take us back to the Cook County Jail, you know what I'm saying? I mean, virtually, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not a place that none of us like to go to or want to go to. In fact, some of the testimonies you have, if you will, that somebody talked about the Cook County Jail, it brought some flashbacks to me to the point that I found myself can't get back on the expressway at all, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, one of the things, one of the impacts on me after I was released about riding the highway, it flashed back to those transfers and I was in the joint, in the prisons, the camps. And you go through it, you know what I'm saying? It kind of goes into the discussion about trauma also. And after a while, you get you think you pass it, you know what I'm saying? But just from the discussions, it put me back in that space. We were talking about that too, though. But I'm going to go down and get this coffee, and y'all make sure y'all put the word out. Patty, we talking about May 13th, we're talking about the food giveaway this Saturday. There's going to be a number of spots, locations. I know 64th, last long. I can't see. In front of Ashton, 63rd, 63rd in Ashton. I'm getting, as we won the spots, we're going to be at the Senior Citizen Hall, too. So we're going to tag team touchdown with the Justice Nicholas Lee campaign. So we're going to get a couple of spots we got to hit. In the meantime, between time, y'all, we want my mother coming in the building. Right on. That's a Blake in the building. Blake, what's wrong? You supposed to have the attorney call in, too. I'm going to get my coffee. Deputy Field Marshal, tag team with us if you can, man. Take us there, but don't take us too close there. Because with God's, what's happening? And the condition of the infants, Cook County Jail. You live on Freedom All Radio, y'all. Let me know. I'm going to throw the Instagram on for 1 minute. I'm at, y'all saying the way. You got that, Conrad?
Yes, sir. Free them all, Jim.
Free them all. Okay, bro. Okay. Okay. You there with us? I want you for those who are outside of Chicago area, 26 in California. You said something in regards to, like, the other day. I guess some of the sayings you hear, people you hear three hots in the cot. And it's just prison, jail jargon. Prison legal, like, you know, you guarantee you get this, you will get three hot meals, and they'll say, and you said something like that's not the case anymore. You know what I'm saying? If you can, why don't you get this coffee? Take us there, just even with that, with the rations. I'm not even gonna call it the food, but the rations. Why did you make it a point that they can't even say three hots in the cot anymore?
Yes, Jim. Free them all. Yeah. It was when he came in, I think it was a Benny Siegel song. He said three hots in the cop before I got snitched to the cop. And, like, it was referencing, like, you can't even say that no more because you don't even get no hots no more. Since 2012, since I was actually back at, captured in there before this last time. And it was, like, certain stuff, the conditions that we're living in right now, it's more intense than it I believe last time, fire was just a living situation. It always been messed up because it was built on that toxic waste center. But yeah, we sent that three hots in the couch. You get it early in the morning. You get probably like they're giving you come in and you call. They say you're in quarantine, but you're in quarantine. If you're supposed to be in quarantine, I guess in regards to the coronavirus situation, they put you in this quarantine. You're supposed to be in there for 2 weeks, but you get. You get no clean clothes. You put in a whole gallery that's filthy and dirty with gnats on the walls, everywhere gnats and all type of feces and everything. There's no hand sanitizer, no soap or anything. I was in there for like a week and a half, and we still didn't get no clean no towels. People was like having to wash towels with used people bars of soap and everything like that. Man. Just thinking about it, though, just going back to it. So the rations that you get in the morning, supposed to give you 3 rations. The first one was supposed to be called, I guess, the breakfast time. You would get like 3 or 4 slices of bread, 1 pack of jelly, and a pack of peanut butter. And like, it was considered to be a gram pack of Kool-Aid. It actually said 1 gram of that, some Kool-Aid, that you're supposed to, I guess, make in the bag that they put your rations in, the food that they was giving you in. And they bring it through this nasty chuck hole and just throw it in there. You know, like I said, people can't even wash their hands to even make these things. You don't have no utensils to even spread, you know what I'm saying, just the jelly on there and stuff like that. So, like I said, they call this a quarantine period where you don't have anything to, you know, even probably, I guess, quarantine and stuff. This is basic human rights and stuff that people are not getting in there, you know, male and females. I definitely went on the female side, but I heard different females talking as we was passing and certain things. They said they would have to re-rinse out they sanitary napkins, you know, for reuse, you know. When the women was going through their cycles, they had to use those things in the swing seats in California, still to this day. Like I said, you still people have no change of clothes. No fresh air circulating. There was no yard, anything to let you grab, so you're still stuck on these in these galleries, in these cages, these filthy cages with toilet. You see, it looks like years of feces that was all up in there. And also on the fountain part where you're supposed to get this water. So either you save these little juice jugs that they give you so you can pour your, make your Kool-Aid and drink your water in there. And even the guards in there, you can tell like they don't even try to deal with you. They're afraid to even come in there and like even talk to you or anything. It's like they're gonna catch something or something by how filthy it is in there. Man, just going to the smell, the fit. You can just, man, even going in there. Couple days being in there, I was in there. Even when I was waking up, my head was dizzy, and then for trying to, you know, I don't know where it come from or whatever. Just some condition, man. But people, like I said, just forced to live and coming straight off the streets from probably being out at work or whatever. You're not taking no shower. The shower area is not clean. It's never been clean. Nobody coming there with nothing to power wash or sterilize nothing. The tables that they, the things they bring your food on, you can tell they was dirty. And it's hard to even call that food because it looked worse than stuff that, you know, you probably feed a dog or something like that. It's actually a place where they keep the animals right down the street. And I've been there before, and it was messing me up because I saw how they kept the animals over there, the dogs and stuff like that. It was way cleaner than the cells in the galleries that they had us on, and we humans and stuff in there. And it's crazy because this is a place where they send you and they say you innocent before what they're saying, they say you innocent before proven guilty. But being there, I can imagine, man, fighting serious cases and stuff and have to sit there. It'll force certain people to either, you know, cop out for a charge that they probably didn't do just to get in a better living condition than what they was already in. So you got to take that in consideration too. I mean, you put, like I said, when you go on there, they got 3 phones on there. Only 1.5 of the phones work. One probably working, the other one you could hear sometimes working, the other one don't work at all. And they say if you don't like it, you know, they got these things called grievances and stuff to fill out. So they got a bunch of grievances, but there's no pen to write the grievances is on there. It was 1 pen, finally, that actually came on the deck. And people tried to use it to write and do different things and stuff. Not even nothing to read on that. People sitting in there like just, man, just watching 1 TV that you can barely hear, and it depends on what people want to play. Ironically, it was funny too on the TV on there. I mean, one black station BET, the sound didn't even work on that one. So you have to, you know, force to watch nothing else but sports and things like that to try to pass your time. But yeah, also downtown, it's a little warmer right now. When we was in there, when I was in there, it was a little cold, a little bit colder, like in the 30s and stuff. There's no blankets or anything like that. You get like a half a sheet and a half a blanket. No, you know what I'm saying? And the thinnest mat that you land on steel. I mean, I know this is, I guess, jail or whatever. It's not supposed to be vacation or nothing, but it's still certain basic human rights that people have. And like I said, like these people haven't been found necessarily guilty yet. You still fighting cases, and then, you know, Chicago is crooked as the pigs is in Chicago. A lot of people pretty sure it's innocent and don't belong in there in the first place. Man. Yeah, it was just.
Any comments or people want to call in? Their thoughts about county jail? There's a fly here.
Some people on here. You want to let them in?
Yeah, please. Where's the fly? Yeah.
Real Mall Radio, call 773-619. Welcome to Free Mall Radio.
Hello. Free Mall Chairman.
Yeah, but welcome to Free Mall Radio.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I was no good.
Talk to us, Carlos. What's going on?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was having some problems with my connections. I just wanted to chime in about the proximity podcast. I was listening the other day. And
Who's the caller?
This is a Johnny.
Okay, free them all. We told him hello, free them all, man.
Free them all.
Right on. I think it's okay. Freedom, welcome. Give us a little background who you is first. You know a little something about Judas the Black Messiah. I mean, I think it's important to know who you are calling in. If you understand, you know what's happening there, my brother.
Yeah, but I do.
The background, who the call is, if you can, please.
So my name is Johnny. I'm a SAG actor and one of the biggest movies, the biggest projects I've been a part of has been Judas and the Black Messiah. And I also have done a lot of other SAG projects and a lot of feature films, a lot of different shows, but this was always the most important to me because of what it means to the culture, because of what it means to our people, and because of how thought out and well done it was. So again, I know I told you in private, but I'm appreciative of being able to be, you know, in you guys' presence and be able to talk to you and get knowledge from you. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you. For those who on StreamYard, again, this is Free of Mall Radio. Those just tuning in on Instagram, we're talking about a number of different things, y'all. I'm here to call you. My guy, you got to call in on the 929 number, 929-477. Yeah, call 929. Okay, let me start Instagram back over. Okay. 1 second. Who we have? This is a young brother here, AJ Carr. Y'all have seen him in different projects and stuff. As he just mentioned, number of different projects. He just said himself, you know, the impact with him, Judas and the Black Messiah, and I'm saying it objective as I can. I had the fortune to touch down with him and his mother, Justice what's the little brother name? Justice Howe, who was murdered by the police. He had came to speak, and Swoop, who worked on Judas and Black Messiah, connected us together. You know what I'm saying? And ironically, they have all them. I mean, he went to Chicago, made with the whole lick. And we've been connected to the hip. He gonna be in the studio with us in the future, though. But this young brother, I got a lot of respect for him. I got respect for his mother, for his family. He ain't no Hollywood cat. You know what I'm saying? What I mean by that is, I tell people, I said, like, Angela Bassett and Courtney Vance, I said, they are a couple who happens to be in Hollywood. They're not a Hollywood couple. And there's a difference, you know. And, when he spoke, Justice Howe, if you're not familiar with that case, go Google that case, Justice Howe. And this brother annually goes there, you know what I'm saying? I'm working on something, too. I ain't let the cat out the bag. I want to get, like, a little thing with me, him, DC Young, Flatter, Killer, Mocat, do like something really, you know, target the youngsters, you know what I'm saying, some conversation, dialogue. But I got a lot of respect for him. So that's what we have on the line with us right now, y'all. You know what I'm saying? In fact, he was on the flyer last week, and he's going to be popping in and out with us, you know what I'm saying, whenever he wants to, as we can get him. But he said something to me when I his brother, the young brother's on post with me. And Ant, Lenny is directly, you know what I'm saying, directly from in Ghana. And Brother Johnny has commented, that struck out with him when he seen this young brother on my security, you know what I'm saying? And I try to listen to different, like, and I on a podcast, Ryan Cooley talked about when he met me, you know what I'm saying? And people notice things like that, you know what I'm saying? And I talked to another, oh, man, that's my phone. Who's the people hosting this to? That's who I posted this right to. My friend, forgive me, Miller. Yeah. Let me know if y'all still hit me on Instagram. And a young brother today, he's 19, and I talked to him, and you know he talked to Impact. You know, see me organizing and so on and so forth. And you never know who watching so on and so forth. You know, so that impacts. The question is, my comrade said, please say your name again. How you doing? Good to hear you. See y'all this Thursday. Yeah, my comrade, that's, have you met the young brother Johnny yet? No, you haven't met him yet. My mother comrade, cool, says I love the green. She's on Facebook. Like, we on Facebook, we on Instagram, we on StreamYard. Well, you heard the interview, proximity. And so what were some of your thoughts? And I'm going to tell you some of my thoughts, you know, about the interview. You know, and again, y'all make sure y'all, it's a podcast. Listen to it. Again, it's Ryan Coogler interviewing Charles King. Phenomenal. It takes us back, kind of the making of Judas and Black Messiah. I think it's important, too, because a lot of times you see the movie end product, you're like, this just came together, you know. But the different, they talk about the dynamics of it. And I let you know, even just hearing Charles King, stuff he making mention, like, you know, how taking notes, you know what I'm saying? And the spirit still sharpens steel, and men and women sharpen men and women. Like, you know, stuff like, you know, jotting stuff down. And I, you know, it was very informative about, you know, about the movie industry and life in general, you know what I'm saying? Different, you know, and not, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can read stuff or hear stuff, but it's not really, we got to use, like, we got to take what we can and make it applicable to our people. But to have people, there's not no racist, it's a realist statement, you know what I'm saying? Like we told, don't even mention that you're black, whatever, and to have that up front, you know what I'm saying, unapologetically, you know, acknowledging the contradiction and the extra stuff that comes with it, who we are, and you know what I'm saying, whether it be in the music industry, whether it be in the educational field, wherever it is, that dynamic, you know what I'm saying, how to grapple with it. But go ahead, Johnny, so tag team with us. So what was your thoughts and some points that came to mind when you were hearing the podcast?
It was really important for me to hear, because I haven't before heard Charles B. King talk about his journey forming and founding Macro and his transitions, you know, from one state of one state he was in, maybe financially, what position he was in at one point, and growing into something greater than that, and still having the importance of making sure our stories that are being told are authentic and true to the history and true to us. It was a lot he was saying, and including that part about, you know, jotting things down, which I've been trying to pick up now too since listening to it. It was a lot of things he touched on that I feel like more of us need to hear. So thank you for sharing it with me. I'm glad you're sharing it with everybody else on the radio. I feel like a lot of us need to hear that. Even if you haven't seen the movie or, you know, aren't too familiar with Macro, the company, I think just hearing this man and hearing Ron Coogler too talk about everything they're talking about in this podcast is important.
You know, y'all look at the movie that Charles King has been involved in too, and when they talk about, like, and you go back and look at it, you can see, you say, you know, that the Mudbone, Just Mercy, and speaking of Just Mercy, I recommend the Legacy Museum in Alabama. And, you know, in fact, look, the case of Lakeith Smith, I want to talk about getting that inside there also. What's the brother's name? Brian Stevenson, who in the movie Just Mercy, that's who Michael B. Jordan portrayed, and
right.
The prisoner of do you remember the prisoner who Jamie Foxx portrayed? I forgot the brother's name.
I remember. Yeah,
it's based on a true story. And I got to go down there. I didn't get to see the whole museum. I need to see the outside part, but it's a phenomenal museum. You ever been to the museum in Alabama?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Alabama yet.
Johnny?
Can you hear me?
Go, man, June 16th, Father's Day. This is my tournament vision. June 16th, Father's Day.
Walter McMillan, yeah.
Huh?
Walter McMillan was the case.
I got the dates mixed up. June 18th, my fault. June 16th, Tupac's birthday, my fault. June 16th, Tupac's birthday.
No, I said Walter.
Excuse me.
You talk about the case with Just Mercy.
Huh?
The guy name was Walter McMillan.
What was the prisoner? What was his name? The prisoner's name? Who he played? The brother's name?
Walter McMillan. What that's the key?
Walter McMillan. Right.
Yeah.
Walter McMillan. Go back and check that out. Brian Stevenson. That's who put the museum together. I think it's the Legacy Museum in Alabama.
Right.
Phenomenal.
I think
Phenomenal.
Roger Stevenson was the lawyer.
Phenomenal.
Attorney.
I would like when we do our trip to every Father's Day we go see Chairman Fred's grave. We missed it last year. We missed it no more. We go down there. We want to stop down in Alabama and see the museum. And then, coming or going, get to Chairman Fred's grave site in Louisiana where the police shoot a tombstone every year. They don't miss it a year. We can't miss no years. So we go down there. But you look back at them movies. And you can see the stuff that the nuances that you may have missed. You know what I'm saying? Like Denzel Washington talked about culture. You know, and this was me and my mother, comrade Cool, on a movie Jews and Black. We were the cultural experts. It's a certain, I'm gonna say politics, but I go with culture for this discussion. To the Black Panther Party, it's a certain. You know what I'm saying? And I tell you, like you look, you say, okay, man, that's West Coast, that's East Coast. There's certain dynamics that, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to Black people, we're told that, you know what I'm saying, anybody can tell our stories, you know what I'm saying, so but there's a different dynamic, you know what I'm saying, that we have to acknowledge. I remember the scene, you know what I'm saying, just even the walk, the dialect, you know what I'm saying, you had Daniel Kaluuya with the dialect and, you know, certain street organizations, the body language, you know what I'm saying? The race contradiction in Chicago in particular, you know what I'm saying? How it was expressed. Denzel Washington said, give an example, he said, Martin Scorsese, you know, fame with a lot of Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, Godfather, other pieces. You say Martin Scorsese may be capable, very capable of doing Steven Spielberg film, and vice versa. However, it was a difference, the different cultural differences, you know what I'm saying? And Steven Spielberg, even with Schindler's List, there was a scene with Liam Neeson, who's playing an SS Nazi guard in Nazi Germany, and he was smoking, his dad smoking a cigarette, and they come on doing continuous cakes. Spielberg wanted the cigarette smoke coming from Liam Neeson's cigarette to swirl in the direction that would show the way the gas chambers were, the wind was blowing in that direction. He had actual people, I think it was descendants of actual, the last generation of people that was alive from the actual gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And when it comes to our culture, people say, well, it's like, you know, it made a difference, you know, in the terms, so on and so forth, you know. And I think back, like, the scene where the police were attacking the office. And I remember struggling about, you know, make sure that first, the Panthers did not shoot first. People might say, well, that's not a big deal. But the clashes with the initial name of the Black Panther Party was the Black Panther Party for self-defense. That's a certain policy. Yeah. The Black Panther Party, hey, how they dealt with the gun, how they viewed the gun. You know what I'm saying? What is, get them up, you know, rah-rah, you know what I'm saying? It's a certain dynamic of gangsters, you know what I'm saying? Revolution is a different dynamic, you know? And I remember even also the scene when they were taking Dominique Thorne's character, we made a joke about how we can't say Comrade Cool all the time. Who's the character?
Judy Farmer.
When they came out, at first they had the gun. It was a white flag on it. I said no, and we came with something. The brown, the jacket, that, you know, it's a. It's a sprint of a yearling. You know what I'm saying? Like Tupac said, never capitulate. You know what I'm saying? And I remember hearing this song, you were talking about capitulate. I said, damn, what is this came about now? I had to look the word up.
Right.
Giving all the way up. Capitulate, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? You're giving up. And people say, what's the big, you know what I'm saying? The terms are important. You know, your mother calls you, you can play the games, you know, she say, you're listening, and you say, I hear you. Now, some mothers can't grasp, you know what I'm saying? But the mother can pick up, oh, no, I said, you listen to what I said, you know what I'm saying? And you might just say, like some basketball player, he had to take his daughter or something, his mother, her grandmother called, and she said, what? Now, you can, technically, you can say, well, she said, well, you know what, you know, the body language, the tone of respect, you know what I'm saying? In certain cultures, there's no problem. It's just, you know what I'm saying? So all this is important when we tell our stories. You know what I'm saying? The people who can engage in certain, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, in certain politics that goes with that. You know what I'm saying? The walk, the talk, everything, you know? So that's imperative. And the movies. I gotta go back and look at the movies again, and you know what I'm saying? And just imagine taking our people out of, you know, like it's a thing they say, you take Black people out of history, so we'll have, you know, street lights, so on and so forth. But just like stuff to look at, not that we learn to adapt with it, like make a joke about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I could see us eating watermelon, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but the deal is, it's a certain dynamic that is necessary. That when in our story, our narratives are told, when we in the courtrooms, the jury of our own peers. You know what I'm saying? Because they can be out of best intention. They sitting there, you talking about this guy, you know, he did such and such, you know, another community, they can't relate to it. Like, what do you mean you couldn't get no job? You know what I'm saying? What do you mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Public transportation to cover your community. What do you mean you can walk 5 blocks of school? There's another different clicks up. You know, so you had the right, you had the wrong colors on, and you know, what I'm saying? And you find yourself trying to explain. You're in the courtrooms, And the reality is, I tell fellas, you have to come to grips with some people not are incapable of relating to, you know what I'm saying? And that's a culture part to a revolutionary, you know what I'm saying? You explain it to people, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm like, no, I'm for our people. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, what do you mean? Like in Spike Lee's version of Malcolm X, with the character Shorty asked Malcolm's character, what's the hustle? He couldn't grasp it. And that's a reality in a lot of situations. People like, you know, so like you, and like you know, I'm sure acting field. You got like you gonna die for this set or this color, or whatever. You can't really explain it to people. I mean, a woman try to explain to some men about labor pain. You know what I'm saying? The best we can do is say, okay, well, I respect what you're saying. You know, rub your leg or your, but it's you try to. Explain to us what balls are hurting. It ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? Let me show you this book about it. You know what I'm saying? It's, man, but the deal is coming upon respect. You know what I'm saying? And that's reality. We live on the record for Free Amar Radio. It's been a making history, taking history, y'all. Live and direct. I'll call in. I'll be with us. 929-477-3785. Press 1. J. Carl, this young person played the movie Judas and Black Messiah. You come in, the crowd's up in that thing, and the story about that too. That's it up in the pool room, okay, or pool room scene. But O'Neill's character came in. Keith Stanfield came. William O'Neill came in. He's been there again. A whole project he's been in. You know what I'm saying? We're live in the wreck, y'all. I'm telling you something else happening too, but y'all, tap in with us. Stay with us. Stay with us, man. Again, type his name if you know his history, man. Phenomenal young cat. I think we got another call in Q2 from Philadelphia when that was going on this Saturday. You got another call in Q?
Yeah, we got a couple calls in Q. Next call in Q is...
Look at this. They're speaking to Jews of Black Messiah. Good evening. Good evening, my sister. Real mom to you, my sister. You should be proud. You know what I'm saying? Live and direct, you know, on the scene. First, who portrays first, Jay Winters' mother, who's been on live a few times. Love respect. We got AJ Carter dealing with us, on the phone with us. Hey, take a kid, take a casting call. You know, need to see a kid. We miss you since August 30th. Come on back. We're going to do something. This is Chairman Fred's 75th birthday coming up, y'all. Young Lord's palm around the building. Y'all pretty much. We're going to call in Q. Young Lord's going to be the building, y'all. August 30th.
Call in Q. Call in Q.
You got another call in Q?
758. Call in Q. Hello? Caller. 758.
Press 1.
Hey.
Press 1 so we can hear you, caller.
Let me see. Hold on. Turn one more time.
Call me from Mike Albert, Jr.
Hello? Hello?
Call
it again. Let me just go right quick.
Can't hear him. Is that a caller?
They went out. I don't know what happened. We got another caller, though. 612-383. They still are. I don't know if they're going to come back on.
Press 1, please.
Call 612. Call it 612-383. Free them all.
We may be experiencing some political difficulties, y'all.
Here you go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
We hear you. Welcome to Freeman Radio.
Thank you. I'm calling because I work at a first place called Freedom Home Academy, and I was told that Fred, you used to teach political classes there.
What? You work there?
I'm a current employee, and Baba Marcus told me you used to teach there.
Well, first of all, welcome to Freedom All Radio. Rhythm's calling. Yes, indeed. What year was it, man? Yes, indeed. Now y'all on set? Where y'all at now? Where's it located now? Cause I was at the for those not familiar, Freedom Home Academy, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Yes, I did, and it's something you mentioned that, cause I'm thinking back. Where's the 113th? Maybe the previous building. Where's the school at now? Freedom Home Academy.
It's near 95th and Stony Island.
95th and Stony Island. Was it on some 77 Stony Island before? Right on Stony Island before?
Yes.
Was it? Was always on 95th? Okay. So was on before the 70. Okay. It was right on 74th, I believe. And before that, on 113th. That's when I was there. And I can't get a year right now, but I know one thing. Some of the youth troops, the students, when I seen them recently, Isaiah youth troop, Uncle Ben, Majahid, Lauren, do they come back up there? All of them were youngsters when I talked. All of them was youngsters. Those names I mentioned, have you seen any of them? That's when I was at Freedom Home Academy. They was, how old were they then?
Man.
I can't remember. You got me dating myself. I tell you how old you got me. I'm going back in time, thinking how old I am. But to answer your question, yes. In fact, I'm gonna post this picture up with all the Freedom Home Academy. I wonder where they came years back. I'm seeing it right now. The students came out the August 30th. The Chairman Fred. No, it had to be a little cold. International Revolutionary Day because they had their coats on. Matter of fact, we had a reunion with them. Yes, indeed. At the Expo, you caused a lot of memory, but answer your question, yes. How did you hear about Freedom Home Radio? Hello? Caller, still there?
Yeah.
Lost the caller?
No, they still there. Caller.
Hello?
How did you hear about Freedom Home Radio?
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard about it because, I actually just started working at Freedom Home Academy, and I had questions about you because I saw that he posted you on the wall, and he told me you taught political classes, so I just started following you on Instagram. But I was just curious, my first question, are you coming to the expo on June 10th? They're having a graduation expo. I wanted to know if you were invited or coming. And my second question is, I want to know, what themes did you teach in those political classes?
When is the expo?
The expo is going to be on June 10th, and I think the location is the same. I'm going to double-check the address just to let you know, but it's going to be June 10th, and I'm curious, since, knowing your father, what themes did you teach the children as far as political science goes?
Well, okay, I'm glad you asked that. I want to officially invite you also, and whatever students you have, to invite y'all to come on out August 30th. As a matter of fact, this is a field trip coming out to the Hampton House one day. You know what I'm saying? It's coming to the Hampton House, a field trip. And we're going to trip the Chairman Fred's great Father's Day. That's another thing. Let me say this one more thing before I go. Shout out to the brother yesterday. I'm sending forth, South Chicago, whose son got shot. His name was Donnell Muhammad. No, excuse me. His son almost got shot. He had deflected the bullet, jumped in front of the bullet. This yesterday in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? That should be across the news media, you know what I'm saying? And you tell me, shout out to this brother. I taught and I teach political education. The class was political science. And everything ranging from some of the tactics, for example, we would put the daily newspapers in. We would go through them. Pick out the different discussions, what your thoughts on it was, and the political significance of school closings, and also I would interact with the youth outside to go see what's going on in our community, everything, the politics, like what sort of merchants were in our community had to deal with us. We would take them. I would take a lot. In fact, a lot of youngsters who engaged in later on with the music, we took the politics of music, and we would take them out to his brother Ish had a studio. And I'll take them out to the studio, and, you know, and they would do political songs, you know what I'm saying? In fact, the youth troops, that's the Black Panther Party. I'm the chairman of the Black Panther Party Cubs. And tie theory and practice, you know what I'm saying? And balance everything out, you know, like, and I would invite, you know, I'm thinking about, like, Lauren's grandmother. She would come in, and she was a former teacher herself, too, but I forget what school she taught in. To come in and you know intertwine, you know, like to the Black Panther Party, the wedding or marrying, theory and practice, you know what I'm saying? So the common discussions, you know, what was going on for everything from, you know, as a matter of fact, the Freedom on Radio, we had them call in on that, you know what I'm saying, to call in, what's their thoughts on different subject matters. I recall the situation, too. It was, you know what I'm saying, like when there was some issues with, you know what I'm saying, his one little young brother, he was something else. I forgot his young brother's name. And I remember saying, you know, Steph, let me talk to you. I need to see you in my office. And this is one of the famous stories about, you know, saying me there. And we had to have a discussion. And he got up. He thought he was going to walk out to the hallway. And another two said, no. Our chairman, when he tells you to come to his office, he made a speech. And we stepped out, we walked down, we came out, you know, so we talked, we walked down in the community to make that connection to the world, what's happening out here, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times you can be in bubbles and you don't know how your actions impact others. We talked about such philosophical terms as dialectical materialism, which, amongst other things, it shows how your actions impact others and vice versa, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times children, in particular, can be subjective, like, you know, like, well, I can, in my own world, I can, you know, say, my actions will impact others, so on and so forth. And, you know, we would talk about that, go out there and see, you know, say, to make it a class project, tell what's going on outside the community. This kind of goes away from the subject, but I want to say something I just thought about. I get back from Belize, and I was going through the hood in Belize, and it was some spray paint on some of the walls, Crips. It was Crips. And then the other guys, you know, saying, they said the other area is Bloods. Clearly, these young cats were not really, you know, connected, you know. But I thought about the activities and actions of people, you know, saying you could be on social media and how it can trickle down to other people mimicking, you know what I'm saying, and the framework is not set up for that, you know what I'm saying. And I said, like, dialectical materialism, you know, helps us to be conscious of our actions and recognize, you know, saying, you know, so whether you know or not, how it impacts others, the spillover from it. And I just thought about that when I was speaking about that. But I would try my best, we would try our best, to tie in the work out. Like, it's an old saying, when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Wherever I'm at, I want to tie that in, I'm going to say, of who I am. And, you know what I'm saying, you know, again, like, you know, the Hampton House, Freedom Lounge, and Freedom Home Academy, still, like, you know, when people come in by the town, different artists, they come in, I'll bring them in, they would come to the school, they, you know what I'm saying, we would try to see them a present-day working campaign, because I can't never say, I'm not a 9-to-5 guy, you know what I'm saying, and that, in other words, I, you know what I'm saying, okay, like, whatever arena I'm in, I got, you know, I got to be on a political pivot. You know what I'm saying? And say, okay, sometimes it goes to my detriment. You know what I'm saying? People say, let's just watch a movie. They say, you just can't watch the movie with Chairman Fred. He's going to be turned into some sort of political discussion, dialogue. And, you know, that. I need wiggle room. You know, and I was fortunate again. I'm remembering how we, you know what I'm saying, every discussion, again, how we've had a political significance into it, you know what I'm saying? Stuff that you may take for granted, you know what I'm saying? With the different songs that artists are talking about, from the neck of the eye, you might say, okay, it's no big deal, this rapper saying, but the machinery of it, you know what I'm saying? Not just having a reactionary assessment, say, well, this rapper said this. The politics of the music business, the music industry, the politics of the movie industry, you know what I'm saying? The dynamics of it, you know what I'm saying? In our communities, you know what I'm saying? So we would really go in depth with the possibility of I remember even the Laquan McDonald case, I think, was happening around
so
the time.
So you were tying in music with politics?
Say it again?
So you would tie in music with, like, you would use modern music and break down, like, political messages?
Yes. We would go through the lyrics. You know what I'm saying? We would go through the lyrics. We would talk about the music industry, like, you know, break down of, you know, say who pulls the clear channels. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't just a reactionary assessment. A lot of people said, "What does rappers shouldn't say this?" Breaking down the radio, the who controls it, the airplay, which artists are raised up. You know what I'm saying? The politicals. You know what I'm saying? Which ones? You know what I'm saying? Who say the little gangster kills, you know, and but as opposed to the actual realities they live in. And they would see examples of me. I would take them out in the community. They would see me actually meet, you know, like actually engage with some of these rappers, you know, and call them to question. They would different events for people try to I would get them on the ground, you know what I'm saying, on the ground experiences. We would go to events so they could see. So it wasn't just read. I had a discussion with a guy today, for example, a brother who did 27 years in prison. He's at an event right now. They may be listening. Matter of fact, I hope they're listening. He's at an event in Rockford, and a guy was talking about doing a curriculum for the school in Rockford. And the brother did 27 years and said, "Wait a minute. You haven't talked to Chairman Fred Jr.?" He stopped the event and said, "Hold on. This just happened today." He called me. He said, "I'm with this guy. He told me doing a curriculum." I said, "Oh." And I got the guy on the phone. He said, "Yeah, I'm doing." I said, "Whoa." He's amazing, naming all these incorrect, these books, you know what I'm saying? I said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought it was something wrong with it." And I said, "No, you have to go to the horse's mouth, you have to pat the mouth, you know what I'm saying?" Right? We actually have a curriculum. Now, you know, I'm not going to talk about, I'll just get it free from the academy. It's an actual curriculum we have that Judas the Black Messiah and the Hampton House came with after the movie, an actual curriculum that talks, you know what I'm saying, things that you, that a lot of people say, "Well, I read this book. One of the things that came out after the movie, Judas the Black Messiah was released, it came out I think 76% of the narrative that was written about the Black Panther Party was written by the fans, by the FBI.
Yeah, yep.
So these are contradictions that we heighten, you know what I'm saying? So we in real time. So that, you know what I'm saying, we would talk about different, I would learn from them. I would ask the students, "What's going on? What's the common discussion?" You know? And we would take it and we would politicize. You there, Carla?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Can I just ask
you
one more question?
Please.
Okay, so I have not yet seen Judas and the Black Messiah, but I'm so happy to be speaking to you.
Wait a minute. We must have a bad connection. What happened?
Can you hear me?
No, I hope I'm going to try to. Wait a minute. Let me check my. I must have a bad connection.
No, I just want to ask. I have not yet seen it, but I'm aware. I know exactly what happened to Fred Hampton, and this actually ties into my next question. He was systematically targeted for being a revolutionary, speaking truth, and just being somebody with a lot of influence. So my question to you as a descendant, if somebody else, because these programs still exist in different ways, and I mean, that happened prior to 2000, so the technology and surveillance methods that they use have become more sophisticated. So my advice would be for the next generation or people inspired by the Panthers who are already targeted and placed on watch lists in the same way your father was, what would be your advice to them knowing that we're in a system where they systematically target Black Messiahs?
Rhetorical question. Have you ever heard of Black Panther Party Cubs?
No.
Have you ever heard of the Hampton House?
Yes.
Do you know any of the work that I do presently do now?
I don't.
There was an event in Costa Rica 4 days ago. And on the panel, Shaka King, who director, Judas Black Messiah, and Daryl Britt, who played the Minister of Defense in one chapter about Bobby Rush in the movie Judas and Black Messiah. An individual who stood in the audience. This is Costa Rica. He said, I know Fred Junior. I've been on the radio. They say the guy Daryl, Fred, who in the movie said, "You don't know the chairman." He said, "You don't know the chairman." He said, "This man be on the ground every day." In the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. It talks about, now, you ever heard of COINTELPRO? You know about COINTELPRO?
Yes.
You ever heard of COINTELPRO?
Yes.
Huh?
Hello?
Yes, are you familiar with COINTELPRO?
Yes,
Huh? You break it up.
The phone lagging.
Hello, can you hear me better?
I hear you better now. What's your thoughts on COINTELPRO? Give us COINTELPRO.
Yes, I'm aware of COINTELPRO. I know leaders like Tupac, a lot of hip hop artists in Fred Hampton were placed on watch lists, and I know people currently systematically stalked and watched because they have a message, they have something to say, they want to uplift the people, you know what I mean? Which is why, like, I just want to know, how do we maneuver in a system where they target you because of fear?
Well, more than just enlightening people, whatever. Again, there's, I mean, actual tangible organizing happening. You know what I'm saying? Chairman Fred was targeted when he was 13 years old, going on 14. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
The FBI placed a wiretap on his television. And that's something that this goes kind of to the question earlier. I talk about this in particular with the youngsters that really hit home about this. He was not just enlightening people. He was tying theory into practice. At the age of 12 years old, he's seen a contradiction about no swimming pool facilities for black children. Well, white people were going to the swimming pool. He grew up in Maywood. He went and challenged, he took his classmates at 12 years old. He took some branches and some sticks and some cardboard and protested the police station. They just wasn't surveillance in him. The police threw tangible tear gas out in him. What do you think he did? Hello? Let me emphasize this. He picked up a live tear gas canister and threw it back at the police station. He took the junior NAACP from 7 to 300 members in about 7.5 month time period. The NAACP, you familiar with the NAACP?
Yes.
They had a convention in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The youth division of the NAACP was called to come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Again, he's about 13, 14. When he got there, the plan was the NAACP, the position was the youth were just to be there, and they actually wasn't going to have any voting power. They was going to be there as a presence, just to show face. When he had organized the youth that they were going to vote, the NAACP locked the doors,
like tangible doors that they couldn't get in. He gained entry. He gained entry. 14 years old. They changed the rules for him not to be technically to be leadership of the gender junior. Because, again, a lot of times in organizations and institutions, they have a person that could be a coach or a brother, but it's just for face value. He presented a problem. They changed the rules because he was actually organized. At the age of 19, when he's deputy chairman, he graduated from Proviso East in 1966. Do you know that?
No.
That's the same year the Black Panther Party was formed, was birthed. He later became deputy chairman of the Black Panther Party. One of the cases they gave him, they say he took Do you know about him going to prison? Excuse me, being taken to prison. Did you know he was ever in prison?
No, I didn't know he served in prison.
These are some of the dynamics. Do you know who organized the Rainbow Coalition?
No, I don't.
See, these are some of the. I'm not trying to put you on the hot seat, but these are some of the dynamics that we have to do damage control for, because people have read books, and you know what I'm saying? And I had a struggle with someone the other day one time. They were saying, well, the students will lead the revolution. I said, I say respectfully, I differ. Because so much information has been ingrained we have to do damage control for. He was given the trumped up cakes. Say he took $71 worth of ice cream from a Good Humor ice cream truck and gave it to the children. In court, he said, even though it made me have to be a thief, they made me have to be a Robin Hood type of thief. They still showed two names to a panther. He was in the Stateville prison. We call it a concentration camp. That's what it is, actually. I've already showed you, I've been filming some of the conditions in the infamous Cook County Jail. He was there also. This is some of the ugly stories. This is the underbelly of Chairman Freer. A lot of people want to talk about the Black Panther Party with the leather jackets. This is some of the underbelly. This is the stuff that people say, let's not talk about that. This is some of the profane the terms that come with it. When you get out of Stateville, they'll call you by your number, a prison number, not by your name. When they referenced him, he stated and took the heat for it. He'll say, I'm Fred Hampton. He said, I'm deputy chairman of Fred Hampton, Illinois chapter chairman of the Black Panther Party. They deem him to be what they refer to as criminally mentally insane for refusing to answer to a number. Similar to during the era of chattel slavery. If you ran away from the plantation, there's a disease called drapetomania. That you was crazy for trying to escape from the prison, from slavery.
Yes, sir.
He was transferred to Menard Prison. You heard of Menard Prison?
No.
He was transferred to Menard Prison, 1969. When he got there, guess who was going to kill him? Take a guess.
The FBI.
Other prisoners. See how politics goes a little deeper than just white and black, and they were prisoners working for the administration. When he politicized them, when you heighten the contradictions, guess what those prisoners told the warden? They said, we on Chairman Freer's security. Anything happened to him, we holding you accountable for. This is what the prisoners themselves told me when I was in Menard in 1999. In Menard prison, they have my picture and his picture in the gun tower right now today. If you get caught with a picture by the one out of in prison, you can get 6 months added to your sentence. They don't want you to know about it. And you say, we have an opportunity. Can y'all see me on Instagram? Let me know if y'all see me on Instagram. Let me know if y'all see me. He was
released or unleashed, as we say, from Menard, August 13th, 1969, on appeal bond. Earlier today, the teacher in Rockford was telling me about the books he read, and he knew about Fred Hampton. And I say, did you know that William O'Neill was not his security? He said, I did know that. I said, did you know, do you look in the movie? You think it's coincidence? There's no scene? You can't hear me? Damn. One second. There's no scene in the movie. There's no scene in the movie with just Lakeith Stanfield, who portrayed William O'Neill, and Daniel Kaluuya, who portrayed Chairman Fred. This is not by coincidence. It's an attempt to do damage control for so much misinformation that's been put out. I learned, and I'm still learning. Do you know where he was assassinated? Again, not to put you on the hot seat, I'm just trying to figure out to get a feel on it. Do you know where he was assassinated at and who was assassinated with him?
Yes.
Which was, that was him tag team with me. Which was where? Where was it at? Carla? Where was he assassinated at?
At home.
Where at? Here we
are. I don't know.
You know who was with him when he was assassinated? You know who was with him?
His. His wife and another man that got murdered, right?
Right on. His wife was 8.5 months pregnant. She covered down. That's important to put out. The defense captain, Mark Clark, was from Peoria. He was assassinated. Those we talked about in class, this people said, why did you make a big deal? At the time I taught at Fremantle County, it was right after the issue with myself, Jay-Z, whose birthday falls on December 4th, 1969. And it was a struggle about stressing that dynamic about assassinated. And that's important. The FBI, via the Chicago Police Department, had cut off all lights on the west side of Chicago. YMCA sent children out of town on a winter retreat. This is something that present-day state's attorney, Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox, in her resignation speech last week, I believe it was. I recommend you go listen to it also. She talked about how the infamous Cook County, many people, you know what I'm saying, many individuals are trying to tie her legacy in Chicago to the case of Justice Smollett, the actor. And face of the history of Cook County State's Attorney, one of the most blatant examples of the length that every apparatus, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this was a combination. One of the points was actually CIA. That's how big this went. That's how big. This took it out of this local, you know what I'm saying, they came in Illinois Bell phone trucks. We do a field trip. You know what I'm saying? I'm throwing this out there to you. On Father's Day, he's buried in Haynesville, Louisiana. The police shoot his tombstone up every year right now to this day. I learned a lot of this information from older men and women sitting around garbage cans, burning wood back when I was growing up. I learned a lot of this information when I was in prisons and, you know, just in experience. I'm still learning, you know what I'm saying? I've learned, you know, hearing different conversations. And I, you know, and we're fighting for Eric to relay this information. We have an actual curriculum. Master, stay, get in contact with us. I want to get you a copy of the curriculum so we can, you know, say, get it. And say, you know what I'm saying? We fought. We in a. It's kind of like somebody, like I told somebody before about it. It's a group called Ghetto Boys, and it's a song they have called "Point of No Return." And they talk about the COINTELPRO. I say, man, you ain't, even if you don't read this information right there, there was an issue some years back where the CBC, the Congressional Black Caucus, had voted for a bill. They signed on to a bill to go back and recapture Asada Shakur. I don't know if you, are you familiar with Asada Shakur?
Of course.
Oh, so no. Okay, excuse me. Not to be. No, I don't know if that's offensive or not. Asada Shakur, for those of you, okay, Asada Shakur. Now, okay, bear with me. No, don't get it. Are you familiar with Joanne Chesimard?
No, I'm not.
Congress had got the CBC to vote for this bill to go back and take, but guess how they done it? They said in Cuba to go take back, they say, for Joanne Chesimard. Joanne Chesimard, a.k.a. Deborah Johnson, was one of her names, ironically. And ironically, it's an old song from a group called Public Enemy. But they say, I'm pumping loud and hard like Chesimard. There's certain information that's linked through different music, but the CBC, with all their degrees, did not make the connection. This is who they're signing the bill for. And the state exploited that. Because the state, the system, the different dynamics of it, they know they're a Machiavellian that said, okay, we'll change it from six to half a dozen. Change the words, change the technology. Call the war on gangs, call the war on drugs, so on and so forth. But that dynamic goes back to my point of hand about, like, even this should be a common conversation. And you know what I'm saying? Like in Nazi Germany, to this day, even outside Nazi Germany, they say victims of the gas chamber, they consider to be child abuse if you don't tell your children about the gas chambers. And they don't know about the gas chambers. So back to the question at hand, you were saying, how do we deal with surveillance? Was that the question again? Targeted?
I mean, just people similar to your father, there's still people, I guess, trying to fight for the Black Liberation Movement who are subjected to COINTELPRO. I know they're still subjected to COINTELPRO, so I'm just asking, how would one maneuver in this system knowing that they're being watched and they could possibly be targeted too or murdered when they're trying to, in a fight for Black liberation, because there is a fear of Black liberty in this country?
We heighten the contradictions so it can be common conversation that people recognize that we under attack. A lot of times people would like to wait for it to become a state. A lot of people are just not acknowledging that Chairman Fred is assassinated now that it's a quote-unquote sacred subject. Wendy's cereal would put athletes on their boxes. Later on in the late 80s, I think 88, they put Muhammad Ali on the Wheaties box. He was going through some struggles. And the guy said, why would you put him on there now? Wheaties said we can do it now because he's safe. We, the Black Panther Party, because one thing about us, and we serve hot meals, and we serve hot politics. We don't, probably with the, so while it's, right now when it's going down, that people recognize who's doing work, who's being targeted, not to wait for somebody to come back and cool it off and write a book about it and read about it to say, to recognize as soon as we see it, like even if it's under the auspices of a rap war or a gang war, be quick on our feet on a pivot, recognizing the politics of terms, the politics of attacks, you know what I'm saying, political prisoners, that put it in context of everyday life. You know what I'm saying? Again, not just word in theory and practice. And just it's like with the, just even acknowledging it is a leap. You know what I'm saying? It's an old saying, saying knowing is half the battle. That defends freedom fighters. So people say, oh, I can't believe the whole thing with Pac. You know what I'm saying? Record he was as a child being targeted. You know what I'm saying? Mumia Abu-Jamal, FBI found 14 years old. Channel Fred, 13 years old, going to 14. So a lot of people have a block in their brain. They don't believe that we even worthy of being targeted. They don't believe that we're worthy of being assassinated. They have to wait till some white people come out and put it in an unauthorized book. And they say, what? Did you know that such and such happened? Well, as opposed to being able to pick up on it quick through the door. Right there, you'll say, well, how would, that helps defend. That, it's just a security. It's like a garlic, the politics, while we're moving and when we're moving and grooving. Say, it doesn't put fear that we can't stop us from organizing, but we take into account every, we use terms like a person was kidnapped, not locked up. They have a ransom, not their bond. We know them. The political dynamics, like people talk about different. Well, that's just an interview. That's just we have a campaign called Fuck Fentanyl. We refer to fentanyl as chemical biological warfare. We refer to the music as propaganda bombs. This puts it in context. There are different individuals, entertainers. We say these they are present day agent provocateurs. We're not waiting on somebody to come through with a degree to say this is okay. We investigated. You're right. We have the African Anti-Terrorism Bill that designates May 13, 1985, when they got into the bomb move as a day of terrorism. December 4th, two of our Twin Towers, quote-unquote, failed. We have Chairman Fred after doing these with other organizations refused to acknowledge as a political prisoner. When I was on a circuit, those were concentration camps. There were assassination attempts made on my life. 1998 in Stateville, we call it Deathville. A guard by the name of Voigt, V-O-I-G-H-T, shot at me through the gun tower. A man kind of prison pushed me out the way. Got the buckshot in his collarbone. We recognize an assassination attempt. They have sent agents of provocateurs at me, amongst me. You know, our organization has been infiltrated. Yesterday marks the 10th year. Are you familiar with Malcolm Shabazz? The grandson of Malcolm X. He's assassinated 10 years ago.
Mexico.
We put it in real time. In real time. Heist the contradictions. So when it's going down, people can relate to it, say, oh, wait, even if it's down the road, they can pick it, they come back and say, you know what, Chairman, you said this. Different dynamics. And in reality, a lot of people are not ready for it. We can't hold up to wait for people's sanctions. Are you right? We did a study that wasn't. COINTELPRO, we call it NOWINTELPRO. What's going on right? So that's our initial, our best security is the people. Everything political, the music, the terms they use, so on and so forth. Freedom all, since I just spoke about Malcolm Shabazz, Nick Jackson, just tapped in with us. I was going to put a comment on your comment yesterday. Again, condolences, ironically, I came in contact with this, just tapped in with us 10 years ago after the assassination of Malcolm Shabazz, a spiritual brother to her, who ironically used your biological brother 10 years later, you know what I'm saying, you lost him. But it's ironic you just tapped in. I was going to make a comment about that, you know, with us now. But again, condolences. To you, to your family, Nicky McMahon, you know, and I just tapped in right when I just hit, you know, about Malcolm Shabazz, about assassination. Yeah, yeah. We live in the record spirit of making history, taking history, and taping history. You know what I'm saying? Again, we have to, again, I was, again, talking, this more, I think, okay, remember the call in, I know I'm pushing my time limit. Did Mike Africa tap in with us? Mike Africa Jr. Y'all get ready, y'all. There's going to be some breaking news happening May 13th in Philadelphia. Yeah. May 12th at the press state, press conference. Huh?
It's a 318 caller, 5-3-8.
Ready to call in. And if you lost Mike Africa, I'm gonna tap in. I'm gonna see you soon, brother. I'm gonna see. We gonna see you soon. Mike Africa Jr.
Free them all, Jimmy. Free them all. Just see you tomorrow, man.
Wow. Oh man. No coincidence. Okay, I gotta wrap up. Talk to me quick. I gotta wrap up. Monroe, Louisiana. Talk to me, my brother.
Hey, look, man, I'm just hitting you up, man. I just came out from this candlelight visual today, make four years today, the Pigs murder, Ronald Green, you know what I'm saying, who was out there supporting the family. And since the last time I talked to you, another black man got killed in Shreveport by Shreveport Pigs, and another one got beat by the police in Shreveport. You know what I'm saying? So they're acting crazy around here, man. Wow.
Keep us posted, man. We're going to be down there on Father's Day, man. That's
I'll wait.
Give your Facebook information so people can keep us updated too, man. We love you, man. This brother, he down there with Chairman Fred. Chairman is bed hanging, but he's on the ground down there. Give us a Facebook message. Tune out. They're closed down. But let us keep us updated, but we love and appreciate you, man.
Okay, my Facebook name is Steven.
What's your Facebook name?
Okay, Steven W. And the last name, Lynn, L-I-N-N. That's my Facebook page.
So you're right, but we love you, man. We're going to tell again, continue from Knoxville, as your brother, man.
No problem, my brother.
Take us on out of the field, Marshal. Love and respect, y'all. Again, another episode of Free of My Radio. This Saturday, we're going to be on CD4 right off Ashley with the free food giveaway at the church over there. Go to Cassandra Greer's page. Go to my page. We got more details. We're going to be on 51st and King Drive. We coming hard with this food. You know what I'm saying? Mike Africa, Philadelphia. I'm going to be like octopus. Philadelphia, Chicago. We're going to be everywhere, y'all. Free them all. Lonely of Field Marshal George Jackson. Spending his history. Making his technical statements. What's the call? Free them all, y'all. It is out there, the Field Marshal.
Yes, sir. Free them all.
All the time I hoping my true motherfuckers know this be the realest shit I ever wrote. Up in the studio getting blowed to the truest shit I ever spoke. 21 gun salute, dressed in fatigue, black jeans and boots. I just appeared in the crap, all you seen was shoot. A real nigga named Nine, think he live like me. Talk about he left the hospital, took fire like me. You live in fantasy, nigga, I reject your deposit. We shook Drake one band, now we out of the closet. Mom deep, wonder why, nigga, blow them out. Next time grown folks talking, nigga, close your mouth. Beat me, I take this bullshit deeply. There seems too many real players fall to let these bitch niggas beat me. Let's be honest, you a punk or you would see me with gloves. Remember that shit you said in the Bible about me being a thug? And you can tell the people you roll with whatever you want. But you and I know what's going on. Payback, I knew you bitch niggas from way back. Witness me strapped with Max, knew I wouldn't play that. All you old rappers trying to advance, it's all over now, take it like a man. Niggas looking like Larry Holmes, flabby and sick. Trying to play a hate on my shit, you need a fat dick. Let it be known as how you made me. Loving how I got you niggas crazy. Nigga, against all odds, hoping my third motherfuckers know this be the realest shit I ever wrote. Nigga, against all odds, up in the studio getting blown, the truest shit I ever spoke. Against all odds, hoping my true motherfuckers know this be the realest shit I ever wrote. I heard he was light-skinned, stocky, with a Haitian accent. Jewelry, fast cars, and he's known for flashing. Listen while I take you back and lay this rap. A real live tale about a snitch named Haitian Jack. Knew he was working for the feds. Same crime, different trials, nigga, picture what he said. And did I mention? Promise to pay back Jimmy Hitchman. In due time, I know you bitch niggas is listening. The world is mine. Set me up, wet me up, niggas stuck me up. Heard your guns bust, but you tricks never shut me up. Touch one of mine, on everything I own, I will destroy everything you touch. Play the game, nigga, all out warfare. Eye for eye, last words to a bitch nigga. Why you lie? Now you gotta watch your back now, watch your front. Here we come, gunshots to tuck. Now you stuck, fuck the rap game, nigga, this M.O.B. So believe me, we enemies. I go against all lies, so hope my true motherfuckers know be the realest shit I ever wrote. Be against all lies, up in the studio, getting blown to the truest shit I ever spoke. Against all lies, hope my true motherfuckers know be the realest shit I ever wrote. Y'all know. Puffy getting robbed like a bitch. To hide that fact, he did some shit he did, so we riding for that. And that nigga that was down with me, rested dead. Switch guess his new friend's one of them dead. Probably be murdered for the shit that I said. I bring the real, be a legend, reason of dead. Lord, listen to me, God don't like ugly, it was rich. Nah, your whole damn style is rich. You heard my melody, read about my life in the papers. All my run-ins with authorities, felonious capers. Yeah, you wanna live my life. So what's a hostage now? Niggas that don't rhyme right. Seen too many movies, load them up against the wall, close his eyes.